In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So I finally get to do my sermon on St. John Bosco. I've been waiting 2 weeks for this, to find a day where it was relatively quiet enough in terms of other saints. So we're going to hear about the patron saint, the father and teacher of the youth, as he was given the title. But of course, I can't resist two other saints, just mentioning them briefly. We have Blessed Angelus de Scarpetti. He was an Augustinian friar in the 1200s. He was a missionary to England, and he was pleading with, there was a certain man who'd been condemned to death, and he was pleading with the authorities not to execute him, but they did. They gave him his sentence, death sentence. Blessed Angelus raised him back to life. And so from then on, he couldn't be put to death again because his sentence was death. His sentence was carried out, and so he'd fulfilled the dictates of the law, and so this man was now free. So that just shows you that God can do whatever he wants, right? I mean, judicially, like legally, there was nothing they could do at this point once he'd been raised back to life. So, you know, when God inspires somebody and says, look, don't do this, don't do it, right? Whatever it is, listen to, you know, the prophets of God, the men of God. So that was Blessed Angelus de Scarpetti. Another one is Saint Onesimus. This is he who was mentioned in Saint Paul's letter to Philemon. Philemon was the master. Onesimus was the slave, and Onesimus had absconded with something that had belonged to Philemon, and fled and took refuge with Saint Paul. And Saint Paul counseled the both of them. He said, "Onesimus, you need to go back to your master and you know, be honest, be upfront." And then he told Philemon, please treat Onesimus as you would treat me. And so both sides listened. Philemon gave Onesimus his freedom, and he ended up becoming Saint Onesimus, bishop and martyr. You just never know, right? Went from a slave to a bishop. That just shows that idea that God has given to all men abilities, characteristics, competencies. Anyway, Saint John Bosco. He was born in the year 1815 to poor Italian parents, and his father died when he was only 2 years old. And she was very pious, taught him to say his prayers, and gave him a good example. She would share her house and food with people even poorer than themselves. Now, he had a dream when he was 9 years old of a majestic man and a woman, and he was surrounded by young boys playing and cursing and fighting with each other. And the man said, "You will convert these, your friends." And the woman said to him, "Be strong, humble, and robust. When the time comes, you will understand everything." So this dream, this vision he had when he was only nine, would impact him profoundly for the rest of his life. And in fact, this phenomena of dreams would continue throughout his life. And that's why we have the book called The 40 Dreams of Don Bosco, which he wrote when he was working with orphaned boys later on in life. So a short time later, St. John Bosco is now 10 years old, and he sees a group of circus performers doing tricks, and he studied them, he watched them, and he learned their tricks from them just by watching. And then he went and he did a little magic show for his friends when he was 10 years old, and he did the magic show, and they loved it. They were all clapping, and then it's quiet, and what does he do? He starts telling them the sermon that he'd heard at Mass that morning. He started preaching to his fellow 10-year-olds. So what an example, what an inspiration, right, in the heart of Don Bosco. And in fact, he would, at 10 years old, he was already a peacemaker. If any of his friends were fighting with each other, he stepped in as the referee. And even, in fact, older boys older than he was, respected him very much for his abilities, and that he knew he would even try to get older boys, right, to get along with each other. So now his own older brother, acting as father, since his own father has died, his older brother kind of took that role. He mentioned that Don Bosco mentioned he was thinking about becoming a priest, and this shows the attitudes. It seems a foreign attitude to us in these times, but very most places in the world there is that social system. Look, we're farmers, we're peasants. We don't become priests. That's not what we do. Priests, that's for the richer people, the people in a higher level of society. That's not us. Why are you turning your back on your family? Why are you turning back on your home and your heritage and where you came from, etc.? So that was an attitude that Don Bosco had to overcome. And in fact, it got so bad that when he was 12 years old, he left. He ran away from home and sought work and to make it on his own at 12 years old. A very courageous young boy. So he worked in a vineyard for two years, and he met there a priest who helped him study and learn and education. And this priest's name was St. Joseph Cafasso. If we know, that's the priest of the gallows. His feast is sometime in the summer. So he needed remedial education since he'd grown up very poor. And so he studied for 6 years and then entered the seminary. And then after another 6 years, he was ordained a priest. So his desire had come true. So he worked first in the city of Turin, helping the poor. And the industrial age had just begun. And in Italy, as elsewhere, conditions were absolutely deplorable. Many, many people coming in from the countryside, looking for work, looking for a better way of life. And it may have been an easier way of life. It wasn't as hard work as in the fields, but it was not good. They lived in slums. Parents would die. Children would be left orphaned. It was really, really very deplorable conditions. And Don Bosco was upset because he would visit the prisons, and he would see there in the prisons a great number of boys, ages from 18 down to 12, in prison. And he was very, very afflicted by this. And so he wanted to do something. He wanted to say, how can I keep them, not just get them out of prison, how can I keep them from going there in the first place? So that began his working with the youth. So he went out. He went out into the streets and became a pioneer, you would say, in social reform. Right, in remedying injustices, living in working conditions, primarily because he cared about, right? He cared about these poor, and he cared about their souls. So what did he do? He decided that it was the traditional methods of parish ministry were inefficient or insufficient. Catechism classes and sermons, those were great if people were members of parishes, if people were coming to Mass. But for these poor people coming in, they didn't belong to a parish, or they weren't coming to Mass, they weren't bringing their kids to Mass, they weren't enrolling their children in catechism. How were they going to learn? So St. John Bosco, remembering back to his youth, would go to the marketplaces where a lot of these boys would gather, and he'd start doing magic tricks. His little magic show, right? And the little boys would come around, and then he wouldn't preach them sermons that he had heard, he would preach them his own sermons and teach them catechism. So that began his ministry. And, I mean, he would see these boys, and they were sleeping under bridges, in parks, you know, in alleyways, no place to stay. So he worked. He had, eventually, at one point, 35 boys living in his own house, right, all over the place. That would never pass diocesan approval these days. It really didn't even back then. Actually, he received a lot of criticism for his efforts. But he started out with 35 boys living in his house, and more boys came and more boys. He found a larger house, a larger place to lodge them. He asked his mother to come and help him. I think she was named, they called her Mama Margarita, I think, was her name, is what they called her. After 10 years, he had 800 boys in various places. And he met with a lot of opposition. One of the police thought he was starting an uprising, like a political thing, like the Hitler Youth or something, which didn't exist then. But he was born right after the Napoleonic era, and this is getting up into the times of, you know, the Freemasonic takeover of Italy. And so there was a lot of political upheaval, and he was accused of that, of being a political activist. He once got kicked out of a neighborhood because all the people living there, they all knew when the boys were playing because there's 800 of them, and that's pretty loud. So he got kicked out of a neighborhood. And church officials were very suspicious of him. They called him, a wheeler and dealer, a loose cannon, I think is what they called him. But definitely having a huge effect. And he was teaching the boys to take care of themselves and of each other. He would pick out the more capable boys, and he would train them to become priests. And in fact, one of his orphan boys did become a priest and indeed a cardinal later on in life. One of his boys ended up being St. Dominic Savio, if you remember that, was one of the boys under his care. And it wasn't just the young boys, also young girls. He worked with some religious sisters, or a young woman. He founded a religious order to take care of young orphan girls, doing for them similar things that he was doing for boys. He called this order the Daughters of Mary, Help of Christians. And he founded a religious institute for the boys. I should mention this. The Order of St. Francis de Sales is what he called it. And he developed what he called the Salesian prevention system. And that is a way of a principle that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So his whole method of instruction was founded on three pillars of faith, reason, and love. Educate the mind, educate the soul, and love the student. And today the Salesian fathers have about 17,000 members worldwide. So it's founded by St. Don Bosco. He continued his good work, and it wasn't just you would think that he's, you know, going around, he's working with boys, he's preaching, he's teaching, he's doing catechism, he's finding places for them to live, he's working on getting funding and schools and food. But he also wrote, over his lifetime, 80 works, over 80 written things, journals, books, periodicals, his 40 dreams that he'd had. And he eventually ended up dying at the age of 73 in 1888, on this day, 31 January. And his funeral was attended by thousands. Thousands of people came to his funeral and immediately began to demand for his canonization. The archdiocese began investigating it, and you had a bunch of people on both sides, for and against. And in fact, there was even, as evidence against it, one of the things brought forward was a political cartoon that had been written about him. And it was he was talking to an old lady and shaking money out of her pockets, right? Which, I don't know, maybe something like that happened, but it was for the young boys, right? That's what he always did. So that just shows that you know, those who in life try to upset the order, the established order, whether it's good or bad, is always going to attract attention. People are going to notice you. People are going to oppose you. And that's why it's so important to live a virtuous life, right? To live well, to set that good example. For it wasn't long that John Bosco's canonization was blocked at his death. But later on, in 1934, there was a man who had known him personally, who by now was known as Pius XI. He knew St. John Bosco, and so he beatified and canonized him in 1934, and that's when he gave him the title, the Father and the Teacher of Youth. So that's a very brief biography of the life of St. John Bosco, and one that is very much conformable to the life of our Lord. We heard in our gospel today, it's our Lord saying, let the little children come unto me, right? Unless you are like this little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so St. John Bosco very much loved the poor, loved the children, and very much like our Lord, he was persecuted for it, persecuted for his love. But if there's anything in life that is worth, a noble cause worth suffering for, it's suffering because you have loved. If you had to go through life with two options, never love and never suffer, or love much and suffer much, it will always, always, always be better to love much, even if that means great suffering. And I would say love means suffering. If you love, that means you're able to be wounded. If you don't care, nothing, you can't touch me, right? If you don't care about anything, then you'll never be wounded. But when you love greatly, you're very much able to be wounded. That explains to us maybe something of the Sacred Heart of Christ and the heart of any saint, male or female, anyone who loves Christ's children, loves the poor, you're going to be wounded. But it is very much worth it. In fact, it can even be the wounding itself that shows others the truth and the proof of it. So let's thank God for saints like St. John Bosco and ask for his intercession. You know, maybe help us to love more. Maybe help to melt our hearts a little bit, our cold hearts. Reach out and love others. Even if we may be wounded, don't let that be a deterrent to loving and opening ourselves up. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.